Today is a Mahadwadasi, Lakshavardhini Mahadwadasi. There are only 8 Mahadwadasis in a year. And there's 16 Ekadasis. So they're very few. So they're very powerful, very purifying. This is a conversation in the Brahma Vaivart Purana, Yudhisthira Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna. Krishna answered the question of Yudhisthira about what is this Ekadasi, the Mahima. He says, Indira, we can deliver our forefathers and all of our own sinful reactions are eradicated. These 2 weeks of Ashwin Krishna Paksha are known as Shrad Paksha. This is when pious Hindus worship their ancestors during this time by offering food, because they're in Yamapuri. Petri Loka is called Yamapuri, and they're situated in various intermediate places before they get situated in a gross body. They're suffering in various types of subtle hells for the various sins, or awaiting punishment, etc. So this is done during this time. So this Ekadasi falls. This is the Ekadasi that falls during these 2 weeks. So that's why it has relationship to the ancestors. So by observing this Ekadasi, we can deliver our Pitris. Pitris means our Purva Parivar, great-great-grandfather, etc. And there's a story about a king named Indrasena from Satyuga. He lived in Mahishmati Puri with great prosperity. He lived very happily with his family. He was very attached to Vishnu Bhakti and always absorbed in Gyan, Bhakti Gyan. And he spent all his time chanting Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. One day Narada Muni came to visit him. It's a pretty exalted king. The king offered him proper greeting, and he asked the king, is everything happy and prosperous in your kingdom? Is your mind fixed in your religious principles? Are you engaged in Vishnu Bhakti? And the king replied, everything is well and auspicious by your mercy, Naradaji. My life has become successful by your darshan, and my yagyas have now borne fruit, yagyafal. Sadhu darshan is yagyafal. I do so many yagyas with some purohit, some homas, yagyas. But then if a great rishi or maharshi comes by chance to our house and we have darshan, that's considered the greatest fruit of any type of yagya, to attain the darshan of a great soul. Because he has the power of liberation. Mukti Devi is living in the hearts of the Maharishis. Because they are Vairagis. And they have no connection to this material world. Niskinchan Sadhu. The Viparas and the Brahmanas, the Purohits, are generally Grihasthas. And they have connection with this world, with the samsara. Wife, children, money, house, business concerns. So they're very much lokic, have lokic concerns, and they're involved with making people's, their business is to make people sojourn through the samsara as they transit from one ashram to another, through the varnas, or within the varna or through the ashramas. So their business is that, it's reward and punishment, prayaschitta. So why have you come to visit me, Narad? Narada said, oh, great king, I want to tell you something wonderful. I went to Yamapuri and met Yamaraj. I offered prayers to him. And you know who I saw there in Yamaloka? Your father. He broke a vow. He took a vow and he broke it. So he has gone there. Your father sent me a message and he told me, please tell my son that due to my sin I'm suffering and living in hell. He should observe the vow of Indira Ekadashi and give away his piety to me. Then I will be released from my present condition of life. This is the beauty of spiritual banking. It's called spiritual banking. You know banking? Like if I have $100 in the bank and you have run into some debts, and then you say, oh, I need $100. So I take out the money and transfer it to your account. Now, how much is in my account? Zero. Right? I had $100, I gave you $100, now I have zero. It's material banking. But spiritual banking is something interesting. You perform a brat or a vow, Ekadasi, Chaturmasya, Chandrayana brat, fasting on Monday, etc., different kinds of vows. And you receive punya phal, sukriti phal, and that goes into your bank account, your punya bank, sukriti bank, and it's yours, and it stays with you, life after life, and gradually brings you different good results, your punya sukriti. Now, if you observe some vow with the sankalpa, a yatra, a homa, a yagya, a fasting, upavas, harivasara, ekadasi, with a sankalpa, with a mentality that the results of this vow should go to my mother or father, that they become favorable or become spiritual, if they're living here on this planet. If they're not spiritually minded or favorable to bhakti, please, Krishna, give the results to them. Take this punya and purify their hearts, purify their minds, increase their attraction to Vishnu bhakti, Krishna bhakti. That's here. You can transfer to people here. And you can transfer to people in Petri Loka. Just like I can transfer money from Bombay Central Branch to Bombay Extension Branch in Vilaypari. Or I can transfer money from Bombay China Bank to Paris China Bank. Long distance transfer. Punya Bank is the same way. You can transfer from your bank here in Radhakund and transfer to Bombay or Delhi. Or you can transfer to Petri Loka according to your sankalpa, your icha, your mentality, your thought. Now in spiritual banking, when you transfer something from your account, $100, it's amazing. If you look in your account, you still have $100. Actually, more than that, you have $100,000. Because it's told, when you perform a brat, this is in Padma Purana and others also, then you get 1,000 times the result, or 100,000, something like that. I forget. Remember, I've told sometimes. 100,000? 1,000.
1,000.
And you get 1,000 times the brat. So, if you give 100, if you perform a fast, so your friend will get the benefit of one fast, and you will increase your sukriti to 1,000 fasts. So you say, oh, my mother's not favorable to my living here or there. So please, Krishna, make her favorable, make her friendly, use her friendly to my account. And then she'll get the benefit of a nirjal in the banks of Shamakund and the association of devotees. That's our fat mama that lives here now. But then we may have some fat mamas up there in Petri Loka. And we can transfer to their accounts. Because that's what the bank, that's what the father is saying. He's in Yamaloka. He's telling Narada Muni, he said, I'm a little bankrupt. I ran out of money. Yamaraj asked me for $100. I only had 50. So he locked me up. I couldn't get out. I couldn't pay. So if I can collect some more sukriti or punya, and I can't do it myself because I'm not in the punya stali. I'm not in the karma stali. The earth planet is karma stali. Everywhere above the planets, there are seven subterranean planets. Subterranean, heavenly, hellish planets, they call them. Atala, Patala, Rasatala, Talatala. There's different seven planets below the earth. And there's seven planets above the earth. Bhur, Bhuva, Swa. That's three. Janalok, Maharlok, Tapalok, Satyalok. Satyalok. That's four. That's seven. So these seven planets above and seven below, you go up and then you enjoy rajasic and sattvic pleasures. the results of your karma. You go down to the subterranean heavenly planets, then you enjoy the pleasures of tamagun, sense pleasures of tamagun, lots of intoxication, all the things that tamagun creates. So that's enjoyment. You can't do anything good there. You're just burning off your bank account. And then you come to the earth and start over again in the karma. Like that, something in Greek mythology, Sisyphus or something. He has a ball and he's pushing a ball to the top of the mountain. It's called Sisyphus or something. The legend of Sisyphus. He has this huge ball and his goal is to get to the top of the mountain. So he's pushing the ball, big ball, and a 100-kilo ball, pushes, gets to the top of the mountain. When he gets to the top of the mountain, whoop! The ball rolls down the other side. Oh, and he goes, oh. And he goes back to the other side of the mountain, pushing and pushing and pushing. So this is the samsara. This is the analogy. Sisyphus, the struggle of life. You struggle to get to the top. Then, doop! You go back to the bottom and struggle again. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. Anudarshana means you see these things again and again and again, one after the other. Now you see it, now you don't, now you see it again. Now you see birth, now you don't, you've grown up. Now you die, now you see it again, you're born. Anudarshanam, Bhagavad Gita. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosh anudarshanam. Dukkha and dosh. Doesn't say anything about sukh. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosh anudarshanam. The faults and difficulties and strains and pains and tensions and anxieties of birth, old age, disease and death, we see again and again. That's the earth planet. So Narada conveys his message. Due to my sinful activity in previous life, I'm living in Yamaraj. Now perform this ekadasi, then I'll be released. When we have our Janma Kundali done and see our Jyotishi, our astrology, Hora, astrology chart, they will tell us, oh, this planet is debilitated, your fourth house is debilitated, the house of family is debilitated, you won't have any children in this life, this and that. There's so many things they can say. Because you have some debts to your ancestors. You have some debts to your ancestors. And then you say, well, what do I do about that? Oh, you have to do this puja, you have to feed 21 virgins or this or that. They tell you all these kind of pacification pujas and prayaschitta measures to counteract the negativities of our previous karmas. And those functions are performed, and oftentimes we see fabulous results. If someone has a debilitated Jupiter, then they have difficulty with their father and difficulty with guru. So then they're told to worship the banana tree every Thursday, and which is Guruvar, Brihaspativar, the day of Brihaspati or Guru, Devaguru, Devaguru Brihaspati. So they worship the Devaguru. And the Asura Guru is Shukracharya. So they will come and worship the banana tree every Thursday with haldi and kunkum and put some thread, Brahmin thread around there and some dup and deep and flowers. I've seen it done. I lived in one bagicha, and one tree was designated as the puja tree for the guru puja, for Guruvar. And I asked my landlady about the situation and what it means and what they're doing, because I would observe various Brijvasis worshipping this banana tree which represents Guru, and she explained everything to me. And I said, why do they worship only this one tree here, which is a rather small tree? She said, because it has to be a tree that hasn't produced bananas yet, and what happens after a year or two, that tree dies. Usually bananas keep going and going, this, that. And after 6 months, that tree dies, so anybody that wants to come and worship. I remember once someone came here from our called a little area or the village. And they came in, and some lady was there, and some puja paraphernalia, saying something to my chokidar. And he said, "No, jao, jao, jao." And I said, "What was that all about?" She seemed like a gentle Brijbasi lady with her head covered and all that. She said, "No, no, she wants to do some guru puja to one of our banana trees. And we only have a few, and I don't want to lose one." He's my Mali. He said, and I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "If she worships our tree, it'll die." I said, "Oh, that's very bad. Go somewhere else and worship a banana tree." So these things go on. This is the Vedic paradigm, the mysteries and secrets of the Vedas that Western people, the Occidental people, have a hard time bending their minds around, because they're scientifically oriented and they believe that science is God and the scientists are the demigods. And science is God and the scientists are the demigods. So there's no need for Bhagavan, and there's no need for Indra, Chandra, and all these guys, because we just get some mercury crystals and go up on our airplane and throw them in the clouds and bring down the rain. So why should we bother worshiping? Or sulfur, whatever it is, some kind of crystals they throw. It's called seeding the rain clouds, making rain clouds rain. They do this in America. They go up with a biplane, double-wing plane, because they go very slow. And they throw sulfur, mercuric crystals, or some chemical that agitates the rain clouds, and then they get disturbed and they release the rain. But then we ask the scientists, "Can you make rain clouds?" And they say, "We're working on it." Because the rains are formed, it's a combination of Indra and Surya. Surya, it's a combination of Varuna. It's a joint venture. How are rain clouds made? Do you know? It's a joint venture. Varuna, Indra, Surya, and Vayu. Vayu, the wind god. Surya, the evaporating god, sun god. Varuna, the god of the ocean, who offers the water to be evaporated. If he doesn't offer it, it won't be evaporated. And then Indra, who makes it rain by throwing his lightning bolts and creating the energy for that rain. If Indra doesn't throw his vajra, there's no rain. Many rain clouds, but that's boom, boom. Indra said, "Ocha." Like sometimes you have a water balloon, or you blow up a balloon and a kid puts a pin. Boink, pew. A party, you go to somebody's birthday party, you take a pin. Poink, poink. You never did? Yeah, any true-blooded funster. Any true-blooded funster must have popped a few balloons. Somebody, you know, it's going like this. Blowing a balloon, you go. So Indra has fun by blowing up balloons full of water. And you're riding on your bicycle on your way to school, and Indra says, "Oh, I'm going to make this guy drenched." Boom! Oh! Sometimes it rains between here and Basanti. Basanti Gram is 2 kilometers from Radhakund. It's totally dry here, totally dry in Ral. Ral, Basanti Gram, and then Radhakund. So someone's coming in auto rickshaw for a class from Vrindavan, totally dry, and all the sides are open. Then they get to Basanti, and they come to class. Everything is dry here. I said, "You're totally soaking wet. What happened?" "Oh, we went through Basanti Gram and boom, it rained and we got soaking wet." So this is personality. There's consciousness, person behind everything. The supreme personality of Godhead. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki. Jai. Jai Ho. Oh, Indra, please explain to me how to follow this ekadasi. On the day before this ekadasi, one should rise early in the morning, bathe, and worship the forefathers for their satisfaction. One should eat only once a day and sleep on the floor at night. On the day of ekadasi, before sunrise, he should brush his teeth, wash his hands and mouth, and take a bath. Then he should take a vow not to engage in any sense gratification, and observe a total fast, nirjal. Then you should pray to Krishna, "O Pundarikaksha, lotus-eyed one, I take shelter of you." Thereafter, at noon, in front of Shalagram Shila, he should offer oblations to his father, according to rules and regulations, feed Brahmins after worshipping them, and give them dakshina. Then he should give the remnants of the oblations to the cows. During the day, one should worship Lord Rishikesh, and offer sandalwood paste, flowers, incense, lamp, foodstuffs with devotion. One should remain awake all night, chanting, hearing, remembering the names, forms, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Next morning, one should worship Hari, feed the Brahmanas, break his fast by eating with his brothers, children, grandchildren, and relatives by maintaining silence. O King, if you follow this Ekadasi as I describe, your father will attain, not only get out of hell, but he'll go to Vishnuloka. So it's just one thing holding his boat back. Boat is ready to launch, but there's just one thing. It only just takes one sin to keep you from going back. Prabhupada was in New York, and he said, if you have one material desire at the time of death, because when Prabhupada went to New York, the devotees used to attend the kirtan. This is before they knew about the Four Regular Principles, 1966. And he said, if you have and the devotees used to, after kirtan, they would go out and have a smoke or go and have some chocolate bars. Hershey's chocolate. Like you have Cadbury's? Cadbury's is an English chocolate manufacturing company. In America, the famous company is Hershey's, right? Cadbury's is, anyway, we don't get into all that. But so the devotees, they would go out and they'd have a Hershey's chocolate bar. It's because they didn't know. And then one day, Prabhupada wrote on the board, all initiated devotees must follow the four regular principles. And he wrote down all the things, and by handwritten, everyone's seen that handwriting. So then when Prabhupada's giving his lecture, he said, even if you have one desire, even if you desire a Hershey's chocolate bar, you'll have to take another body. So it's not so easy to go back to God. One must become Ananya Bhakta. Ananyas Chintiyanto Mam. Yejana Paripashite Tesham Yaviyuktanam Yogakshema Mahamyam. When we become Ananya Bhakti, then Krishna gives everything. Gives himself, gives his abode. Param Gati. Yeah, can you? Okay. So this is the point that this king, the father of Indrasena, he was a great Vishnu Bhakta. He was eligible and ready to go to Vaikuntha. But there was one thing holding him back, one offense, one sin. So he was stuck. He was hung up in Yamaloka. So he was such a fortunate jiva, such a punya jiva, that even in hell he met Narada Muni. It's not that everybody in hell meets Narada Muni. Sometimes the king may go to the prison and visit the prison. And he'll walk around, see some prisoners, and he'll see one guy sitting in the corner and say, who is he? What is he here for? He looks so young. Yes, he's only 18. Acha, what's his name? His name is Piyush. Acha, yes. What did he do? Oh, when he was young, he cut the head off a frog, and then killed that frog. So now he's been arrested. Oh, he's so young. So then the king says, release him, forgive him. Then the king walks out, because the king is above the rules. So then the warden opens the thing and says, you're out. The king just released you. You got the mercy, clemency, or whatever, amnesty. It's called amnesty, forgiveness. So in the same way, he could have been there for years and years in prison, but he was somehow favored by the king. So Narada Muni, like the king, Narada Muni went to hell one day, which is the prison house. And he just so, somehow or other, the father of King Indrasena was such a great bhakta that he got to meet Narada Muni. Narada Muni met him and said, who are you? What are you doing here? So then he served him, and he came back to earth and gave the message. There's millions of people in hell, and Narada Muni is not being the emissary of all those people. So this is the point, that one can be such a great devotee, that there's only one thing holding him up, and he's just kept in Yamaraja's waiting room until someone does some good thing for him. So the basic conclusion is that, go back to Godhead. Finish our business in one life. All accounts cleared. No material desires. Nadanam na janam na sundaram. Nam Ruchi, Krishna Ruchi, Bhakta Ruchi, Bhagavan Ruchi, taste and love for serving Krishna, Nam, devotees. After telling this, Narada disappeared. King Indrasen performed this vrata, and when he did that, after he strictly observed it, flowers fell from the sky, and the father of Indrasen immediately left Yamaloka, climbed onto the back of Garuda, and went to Vishnuloka. Haribo. A story with a happy ending. That's what I like about Shastras. Usually have happy endings. And the saintly king, meanwhile, his son, ruled his kingdom without any impediment. At the end of life, he gave his kingdom to his son, and he went back to the spiritual world. Such are the glories of Indira Ekadasi. Anyone who reads or hears the glories of this Indira Ekadasi becomes free from all sinful reactions and immediately returns to the abode of Lord Vishnu. Harivo! Vishnu Loka Ki.
Jai.
So the only Vishnu we know is Krishna. When they're in the Garga Samhita, it describes the pastime in several chapters of 20 different types of ladies who became gopis. They got blessed by the Lord and appeared in Dwapara Yuga in Boma Vrindavan to have their desire for conjugal love with Bhagavan fulfilled by being the divine consorts of Krishna in the Rasa dance in Vrindavan. The ladies of Ayodhya, when Ram returned from, because he was 14 years in the forest, so all the girls that were young when he came back, and they saw him with Sita, they said, wow, look at Ramchandra. Ati, ati, ati sundar. So attractive, so beautiful, so handsome. But he had ek patni brata, only wanted one wife. And so these ladies, they were thinking, oh, it'd be so wonderful if I could serve Ram. I would dedicate my whole life, everything, body, mind, and words for the happiness of Ram. But I'm not so fortunate. I wish I could be Ram's divine consort. So they had this sankalpa, and Ram, he understood that because he's Trikalagya. He knows the heart of every jiva. He knows the mind of every jiva. So he said, Tatastu, Bhavatu. So those ladies from Ayodhya, they took birth in Dwapara Yuga, in the Sindh province, the province of Sindh. They were Sindhis. Ayodhya Vasi Ram. They were Ayodhya Vasis, now they came Sindesh, Sindeshis. You know Videshis? These were Sindeshis. Sindh Deshis. And they appeared as the daughters of King Bimal. Bimal means a very pure-hearted person. And it was their time for marriage. So the king asked his ministers, where is the most beautiful person, the handsome person in the world? My daughters are Sindhis. And Sindhis are very pretty. It's told. At least in Dwapara Yuga they were. At least I know that Sindhi horses were very famous. Sindhi horses are famous. Krishna had a horse from Sindh. They're very fast. Sindhi horses. So maybe Sindhi ladies were very fast also. I don't know. So the minister reported back. He went to Mathura. He said, there's a very beautiful, dashing prince in Vrindavan. But he doesn't marry anyone. He just enjoys. So he got the particulars about this prince who happened to be Krishna, Bhagavan. So then he sent his daughters to Vrindavan. Then they met Krishna and Kamyavan because their desire was to attain Bhagavan as their consort. So that desire was fulfilled in Kamvan. Kamyavan is one of the Dwadasavana of Vrindavan where all your desires are fulfilled. So they came there and they were cried so much when they saw Krishna. They cried and cried and cried because they finally found the man of their dreams, Sri Krishna. And their tears formed an entire lake. And that lake is called Bimalkund. Bimalkund is a very famous bathing place in Kamyavan, still today. There are all ashramas and hermitages of rishis and temples all around the perimeter of the Bimalkund and Kamban. They call Kaman. Kaman? Hindi name is Kaman or Kamban, but Kamya, Kamyaman. So this is one category of ladies that became gopis in Braj. Then the Palinda women. The Palinda women were actually Adivasis living somewhere else in another forest. There's a whole story about them. Maybe we'll tell those stories tomorrow. Everyone loves to hear stories. But in relation to Ekadasi, these 20 women, they appeared in Boma Vrindavan with a strong desire to attain Krishna as their husband. They said, and then they wasn't working. Whatever they were doing, whatever puja prayers they were all grown up, they were ready, they're beautiful girls, but they couldn't attain Krishna in the Rasadath. Not as their husband, but as their lover, as their paramour. Then they approached Radharani. They said, "Oh Radhika, what can we do to really please Krishna, that he's so pleased with us that he accepts us in the Rasa dance as he accepts all you Nityapriya Sakis? Oh, do you know? Do you want to know what to do? What should you do? You should perform Ekadasi Vrat. You should observe Ekadasi, even in Boma Vrindavan, even when Krishna is giving Prakat Leela, Sakshat Darshan, Sri Krishna, Prakat Leela, Boma Vrindavan, 5,000 years ago here in this Jagananda, now in another Jagananda, another universe. This Jagananda, finished, now another Jagananda. Brahmanda, another Brahmanda. Not visible, it's called Aprakat, invisible pastimes. So they said, all right, we will do that. So then Radharani explained to them how to observe Ekadasi, to worship Krishna. And then after that, after she said, now I'm going to give you some other boon. Are you ready?
Evo.
You're ready. Okay. I'll tell you. She said, listen, I'm going to tell you a mantra. Are you listening? If you chant this mantra, then what, you know what you'll get? You will get the benefit. Sukriti phal prapti of 12 Dwadasi Vrats. Automatically go into your Airtel account. Into your Sukriti account. If you chant this mantra. But unfortunately, I don't know the mantra. But I just remembered it by Radharani's mercy. This is what Radharani said. If you chant this mantra, then, okay, first she described how to perform Ekadasi Vrat. Every Ekadasi you do like this. And then they started doing that. Then they were accepted in the Rasa dance, these 20 different girls. And the Palinda women, of course, they weren't accepted directly, but they got to rub the kunkum on their breasts and they had all the Madhurya feelings of the gopis. Many, many of those feelings. That whole Leela is there also in 10th canto. So, and then the Ayodhya women, the women from Kosala and Ayodhya, and the Nagapatnis, oh, there's a whole group of them. It just shows that anybody and everybody can be accepted by Krishna. Krishna consciousness is all-inclusive, all-embracing. No limitation by varna, no limitation by ashram, no limitation by species, no limitation by form. Krishna will accept and love everyone. You're a snake? Okay, become a gopi. What are we? We're also snakes. Snakes, dogs, pigs, asses, camels. Swavidra hustakarya karye. Second canto of Bhagavatam. Camels, dogs, pigs, asses. But if we surrender to Krishna and worship him, we can become gopis. Palyadasi mandris of Radha. So sweet, so tender, delicate and charming. Playful, joyful. Radhe, Radhe. No friends, no enemies, no envy. It's only love. Love. It's love. Prem Dham Vrindavan Ki. Prem Purushottam Sri Krishna Ki Jai. Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. I know all of you are Jewish bankers, and you want to increase your spiritual bank account, and you want to get the Sukriti for those 12 Dwadasis, and you want to know that mantra, and you want to chant that mantra, and you want to follow Radharani's Agya, her order. So now, repeat after me the mantra. And what is that mantra? The mantra is the names of the 26 Ekadasis. And they're all named after women. They're all female, because Ekadasi is a lady. So they're all Devis. Ekadasi Devis. There's 24 Ekadasi Devis. Like the Nakshatras. 27 Nakshatras. They're all Devis. They're all the wives and consorts of Chandrama, Chandradev. Anuradha, Danishta, Chitra, Uttara Falguni, Uttara Shadha, Maga, Rohini, Swati, Mrigashirsh. These are the Nakshatras, yes? You must be knowing. So they're all ladies, Devis. And they're all the wives of Chandra, 27. He also has another wife, his Mukya Patni. Please repeat this mantra after me. Utpana.
Utpana.
Mokshada.
Mokshada.
Safala.
Safala.
Putrada.
Putrada.
Shattila.
Shattila.
Jaya.
Jaya.
Vijaya.
Vijaya.
Amalaki.
Amalaki.
Papamochini.
Papamochini.
Kamada.
Kamada.
Parutini.
Parutini.
Mohini.
Mohini.
Apara.
Apara.
Nirjala.
Nirjala.
Yogini.
Yogini.
Devashayini.
Devashayini.
Kamini.
Kamini.
Pavitra.
Pavitra.
Aja.
Aja.
Padma.
Padma.
Indira.
Indira.
Pash Anukusha.
Pash
Anukusha.
Rama.
Prabodhini,
Prabodhini,
which is also called the last one, Utana, Utana, right? Utana. Now there's two more during the Adik Mas, leap year. Padmini,
Padmini.
Parama.
Parama.
Srimati Radhika said, anyone who chants the names of these 26 Ekadasis obtains the result of observing the vow of Dwadasi for the entire year. Jai Ho. Kadasi Bratta Ki.
Jai.
Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki.
Jai.
This is Venu Geet from chapter 21 of the Dasama Skanda. The gopis glorify the song of Krishna's flute. The gopis were in Yavat. Krishna was in Kamyavan. They were missing him. They are in separation, viraha, purvarag. When will we meet that beautiful boy? We've seen him, we've heard about him, we've heard his flute. He's winked at us. He's played with us sometimes, but we haven't intimately met with him yet. Menogit. So their whole heart is simply wrapped around Krishna. The sweetness of Krishna. Their whole heart is wrapped around the sweetness of Krishna. And that sweetness has four forms. Venu Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, and Leela Madhurya. So now they're wrapped with the Venu Madhurya and the Rupa Madhurya. But they haven't, they're experiencing Prema in this terms of Purvarag. But the Leela Madhurya, they have not entered the Leela with Krishna yet. Directly. It's a very wonderful time in the pastimes. Because they enter the Leela in chapter 29, Ras Leela. Next, Purnima. Ashwin Purnima is called the full moon night of the Sharad season, Sharad Purnima, Maharasa dance. It's coming up. now is, oh, it's only maybe 18 days away. Yes. Because now 15 days Krishna Paksha, then today is Trayodasi, no, Dwadasi, then Trayodasi. Trayodasi starts tonight at midnight. And then Chaturdasi. So about 17 days, and then, Maharas. Such a beautiful night in Braj. Hot day and cool night, refreshing breezes coming off the Yamuna. Yamuna Pulina and Dira Shamir, Mamshivat. Beautiful places. I've seen. I walked there. I lived there 15 years. So they're repeatedly singing that the flute is their everything. Because in the flute, remembering the flute, they remember Krishna. Hearing the flute, they think of Krishna. The flute is their heart is the flute. So Veno Gita means the song of their heart, the song of Krishna's flute. They're singing it, it's a duet. They're remembering the song of the Veno. The Veno is singing in their ears and heart, and their heart is singing in the Veno. Their heart is singing in Krishna's Veno. He's hearing their heart song, and he's hearing their Veno song. So this is the introduction to Veno Gita. So they're repeatedly singing, and they're praising the animals, they're praising the demigoddess, they're praising the forest, because all of these entities in Vrindavan are directly sakshat relating with Krishna. And they're stuck in Varsana or in Yavat. And the demigoddesses are flying above Vrindavan in their flower airplanes, watching Krishna, hearing his flute, following him wherever he goes. They can't follow him, they're trapped in their houses. Their hearts go after him, their minds go after him, but they're trapped, they can't get out. Their love is growing and growing, they're poor of a rag. But they're staying in the village, but they're seeing with their transcendental eyes of their heart. You've heard of the sun, what is it in Kurukshetra? Sanjay? Sanjay had transcendental television. So he could see in his heart, he could see the battlefield, no? Who is there arrayed on the battlefield? So we could see in a distant place until Dhritarashtra was far, far away from Kurukshetra. And the gopis are far, far away from Kamvan, but they can see in their transcendental television of their hearts Krishna. And they could see the charming pastimes that Krishna enacts when he enters the Braj forest. So the setting, what did they see? Who, what, when, where, and why? Now this is what they're seeing. Now we're looking, they're looking, in their hearts they're seeing this, and in their hearts they're smelling this. Because when we dream in our minds, we're smelling, and we're tasting, and we're touching, we're hearing, all the five senses are working through the mind. Eyes are closed, ears are closed, mouth is closed, nothing going across the tongue, hands are inert, we're not touching anything. We can feel in the dream. So the actual feeler, taster, seer is the mind, not these external organs, senses of a glass and a magnifying unit and the reflective unit and all this. It's the mind. We smell the pizza in our dream. We touch the woman in our dream. We pass semen in the dream. We get frightened by the tiger in the dream. We perspire because of fear. Where's that tiger? We're seeing in our mind. So the body is reacting. So this is the reality. So the gopis are seeing in their chitta. Chit. Chit means heart and mind. They're seeing, oh yes, the wind is blowing. And the forest is like this. It's so nice. This is the deep power of dhyan. Absorption of dhyan. It becomes real. Dreams you think are real. You really identify and you really smell and you really touch and really sweat and everything. You wake up, you're all wet. Mental sweating and you wake up and you're physically sweating. So now we're going to see through the eyes of their heart. What did they see in their meditation? How graphic was it? How real? Kusumita vanaraji susmi bringa dvija kula gushta sarasarin mahindram marupatir avagaya charyanga sahasa pashupala saha pashu pashupala balash chakujam venam. This is what the gopis saw in their meditation. They saw Vrindavan forest with lakes, rivers, and hills of Vrindavan. The bees were flying everywhere, making wonderful sounds, buzzing. Bzz, 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 bzz. Flocks of birds were hovering about the flowering trees. Marupati Krishna. Marupati. That sweet pati means Lord, and madhu means sweet. My sweet Lord. My sweet Lord, I really want to see you now, my Lord. I really want to feel you now. Yep, famous song. Marupati. Marupati means my sweet Lord. So how much they're appreciating the Madhurya of Krishna, Vena Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya. So they're calling him Sweetie Pie. Oh, Sweetie Pie. Oh, Marupati. Oh, Marupati. He's not their pati. Pati means husband. But pati means Lord, Master. He's their sweet beloved. But they haven't even kissed. They haven't even embraced or touched each other. Well, this is how they feel already. The intensity of their attachment, their rag, their purva rag is so great. Oh, Marupati. Marupatir avagaya charyanga. Gai charan lila. Gocharan. We say gocharan lila. This is Gai Charana. Gai Charayan Avagaya Marupati. So Marupati is going with the cows. So there's Marupati and the cows. Oh yeah, there's somebody else too. Somebody named Pashupal, Saha Pashupal, and Balash, Bala, Ram, Balaram. They're there. But our focus is on that little boy, that Marupati. He entered the forest while herding the cows, and he began to chakujavenam. He started to vibrate on his flute. Can you hear it? Can you see it? They're seeing it in their meditation. Their prem samadhi, their prem dhyan meditation. They're hearing, as I said, you hear in your mind, you see in your mind, you smell in your mind, you touch in your mind. So they're hearing chakujavenam, they're hearing the sound of the flute in their mind. Oh, Sakhi, so sweet, madhu, madhu, madhu. And they're hearing the buzzing of the bees, and they're seeing the birds flocking around the they see the birds hovering around the flowers in the flowering trees. And they smell those flowers of the trees. Vishnu tells. Because chakuja means very... Why chakuja venam? Chakuja. Because Krishna, he's playing the flute, but he's Dhir Lalita Nayak. He's a very flirtatious romantic and very joking type, playful type. So he's playing his flute. Acha, bees are... You're singing like this, you're buzzing... And the birds are singing, woo-hoo-hoo. So now I will, chakujavenam, I will play my flute in such a way that I will blend the sound of my flute with the buzzing of you bees and the chirping of you birds. Now listen. So he plays his flute exactly to blend with all the creatures. So he wants to have rasa. Krishna wants to have rasa with the birds, so he's all attracted to all living entities, even Pashu, Pashu Karshan, Pashu Pakshi, Pashu Pakshi Karshan. Krishna's Krishna, Krishna means Karshan. That he pulls the hearts of the birds, he draws the hearts of the birds, Pakshi Karshan. He pulls the hearts of the Pashus, animals. What to speak of the gopis, gwals. Gwalins. He pulls their hearts. So now, oh, there's no gopis here. I can't pull their hearts. I would if they were here. And the gopas are already here. The cows are here. I already pulled their hearts. I pulled their hearts. They left the goshala. I pulled the hearts of the gopas. They left their houses and joined me in the courtyard. So now we're together, gopas. Gaya and gop. Oh, but hey, bees, come on, join the rasa dance. Hey, birds, join the rasa dance. How do you join the rasa dance? You have to hear the call of Krishna's flute. Until you hear the call of Krishna's flute, you will not be able to enter the rasa dance. Skillfully blended the lovely sounds of with his flute with the lovely sounds of Vrindavan's chirping birds and buzzing bees. Madhupati not only means the Lord of sweetness, but it means the Lord of spring. Because we have months, there's Sanskrit names, Madhu, Chaitra, Vaishak, like this, so Madhu. Springtime is called Madhu, because all the flowers are so fragrant and have such sweet nectar, pollen, nectar inside their centers. All the bees and birds go wild. This is Madhu. And it's the season of Cupid, of Kamadev. Because flowers are one of his weapons. He has five flower weapons, five flower arrows. Panchasharai. He shoots living entities. So this is Krishna. He's a personification of Kamadev. He's a personification. So when they're saying Madhupati, it means many things. It means you're the Lord of sweetness. You're the Lord of spring, which means the season of love. Kandarpa means you're the transcendental, you're the Divya Kamadev. A Prakriti Madan Mohan. Krishna is the transcendental Cupid. So this is all, when they say Madhupati, that is what it means. So when he entered the forest, even if it was autumn, he made it into spring. The autumn forest became filled with springtime flowers. When you go to the forest in the spring, so many flowers will be there, just like we have a small mini garden here. So certain flowers blossom at certain times. So in the winter, the roses are abundant. And then as soon as May comes, then the mogra starts blossoming. And then in the beginning of the rainy season, the jui flowers start blossoming. And at the end of the rainy season, when Sharad season starts and end of rainy season, then the Parijat flowers start blossoming. So they have their time to blossom. In the winter, the Kunda, we have these Kunda flowers. The Kundas are blossoming in the winter. And then after the winter, they're not blossoming. And we can see that even here in the garden. Different auspicious, fragrant flowers are blossoming different seasons. So the same way, when Krishna entered the autumnal forest of Vrindavan, and all the spring flowers blossomed because they're especially sweet, especially attractive. So all this is in that this one word, Madhupati. When the gopis say Madhupati, there's so much backing. The meaning of a word is in the backing of the word, not the external vibration. Someone says, "I love you." The word is love, L-O-V, love. But what is the backing? A lifetime of dedication, a lifetime of surrender, a lifetime of constant meditation, every moment, thought, desire, word, every atom of energy dedicated for the pleasure, satisfaction, and happiness of the beloved. Is that the backing of your love? That's Radharani's love. So when she says to Krishna, "Oh, you're my Priyatam, you're my dear, most dear beloved," there's a lot of backing, a lot background, foundation, sambandha. So it really penetrates and really means something. So when the gopis say Madhupati, when these Purvaraganis, these Purvarag Sakis, when they say Madhupati, how much backing is there? The heart behind that word, the feelings behind that word, the heart. It's so language is so cheap. "Oh, I love you. I love you." But when they say Madhupati, it's surcharged. It's packed, it's so intense with meaning. And Vishwanath is trying to draw that out. Vinod Valery Mundry is drawing that out. This verse does not mention that the coward boys or Balaram were playing flutes. Although they do sometimes. They also play flutes. They carry them in their belts, venus and vamshis. But the verse is not saying that. It's saying only Krishna is playing the flute. So the gopis said they were just hearing Krishna's flute. There was no mix there. Only Krishna's flute they were hearing in their meditation. Because only Krishna was playing the flute, the Veno Geet, the song of the flute and title of this chapter, came from Krishna's flute only. So the song of the flute. So Krishna is playing the flute, and if you play somewhere, if you go in a stairwell in a building, it's called the stairwell, where the stairs, you can walk to the stairs, first floor, second floor. It's kind of a closed area. Some windows letting light in, but it's kind of closed in area. It's called the stairwell. If you go there and play your flute, and if you sit there and play your flute, it echoes, and it's very nice. You get a very nice effect. You're playing your flute, because, you know, we're all coward boys, and, right? Whatever, you play your flute there, and it sounds very nice. It's called echo. It goes out, the sound goes out from your flute, and it comes back. So when Krishna is playing the Veno, he's playing Geet, song, the song of his flute. He's playing the Veno in Kamban, or the forest, and that sound is going out to the ears of the gopis in Yavat. And that song is playing in their hearts. And when that song touches the musical chords of their heart, then their hearts start vibrating their own music. And the music vibrating the hearts of the gopis comes back as their song known as Veno, these verses. Because these verses are spoken by the gopis, which you'll hear. This is their song. It's the echo. That's why it said it's called Veno Geet. Why isn't it called Gopi Geet? Because the verses are all spoken by the gopis. But all these verses are describing Krishna's flute. So that means the flute went out and the flute came back. Sound of the flute goes out and the echo of the flute comes back. So Krishna sends his loving vibration from Kamban through his flute. He didn't have a cell phone, he had a flute. You have a cell phone and you're in Kamban, you send an SMS message to someone in Yavat. Oh, I have a message. Oh, my husband's in Kamban. Oh, cha. And then when I write back, oh, I love you, this, that, blah, 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 this, that. So then you sing some song on your cell phone, your messages, you write something. So their cell phone was their heart, and Krishna's cell phone is the Veno. So he's sending out the song, the Veno Geet. It's called Veno Geet, but Krishna's not saying anything. So what is the message that the flute is speaking is what the gopis are speaking. Krishna is speaking his flute, and the gopis say, oh, you're saying this. Tadrajastriya ashrutya venogitam smarodayan kaschit paroksham krishnasya swasakibyo savivnon avarnayan. Rajastriya ashrutya venogitam smarodayam smara udhai kaschit paroksham kaschit paroksham krishnasya swa sakibyon varnayan. When the Brajastriya, the damsels of Braj, the young ladies in Vrindavan, heard the song of Krishna's flute, the Veno Geet, which arouses the influence of Cupid, Smara Udhai. Smara means lust, eroticism, love, attraction, attachment. The flute, so Krishna's flute enters their heart and tickles their heart. Tickles their hearts. They become excited by the sound of the Krishna's flute. Because Krishna's flute conveys and carries and expresses all the sweetness of Madhurya Sri Krishna. That's why it's called Veno Madhurya. Veno Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Leela Madhurya. This is Krishna's flute. Cupid was aroused in their heart by the Veno Geeta, Smara Udhai. Then Parokshavad. Parokshavad means indirectly speaking your heart's wishes. Kaschit Paroksham Krishnasya. Krishna Paroksha. Parokshavad about Krishna Katha, but indirectly, hidden, secretly speaking. Hearing Krishna's flute song, they began describing Krishna's qualities, swasakivyo varnaya, Krishna varna. Krishna varna means the qualities of Krishna they started describing to their friends. The word paroksha, indirectly, is used because the gopis were located far away from Krishna in the Braj. Tadvarna yuktam arabdha smarantya Krishna cheshtatam nashakam smaravegena vikshipta manaso nipa. The cowherd damsels of Braja began to speak about Krishna. But when they remembered his activities, the power of Cupid disturbed their minds and they could not speak. Vikshipta manaso nripa. Vikshipta means extremely disturbed. Vikshipta. Varnayitum arabdha smarantya Krishna chastitam. When the gopis attempted to describe the song of Krishna, they could not do so because their hearts became overcome with strong desires for Krishna. They haven't even spoken yet. They're just, in other words, this is Shukadeva Goswami is setting the scene. He's showing us what the gopis are seeing in their meditation, the udipan, the environment, the setting, the forest, the birds, the bees, the sounds, and the vibhava lamban vishaya Krishna. He's there with his cows. And this is the vibhav. And their stahivav is the purva raga and madura rati. That's their stahivav, their permanent feeling of love that's arising in their hearts. It's permanently there, like the ocean is always there, sitting on the planet. Sometimes waves rise and sometimes high tides, low tides. So this is the permanent loving mood in their heart. But now they're simply remembering. They're remembering Krishna Cheshtita. They're not seeing him, they're not touching, they're not hearing his flute directly. And they're starting getting disturbed. It's called Udvega, disturbed. This is one of the Vyavachari Bhavs. And then, this verse is given. This is the Viva Vishai. The Nayak, the hero, the Nayak that they were Krishna Nayak, the hero that they were meditating on. Krishna Nayak, the hero, Krishna. This is a specific form. Do you want, because someone might say, well, when you think of your girlfriend, what form do you think of? Oh, I think of her in this yellow dress, with her hair like this, and her eyes like this, and her lipstick, or this, or that, or this bangle, or no bangle, or this. Some type of image or form may come to the mind of someone who's attached to some particular woman or whatever. Naturally. It's not, when you think of someone, oh yeah, they're the blob. People have details and distinguishing characteristics which make up their rupam, or their tanu, form. So this is the gopis' meditation. Shukadeva Goswami is telling, this is the gopis' meditation. The acharyas, the Gaudiya Rasik Vaishnavas, they say that this is one of four verses which best describes the beauty of Krishna. So this verse, this is the gopis' verse describing Krishna's beauty. Some devotees have memorized it. 10th canto, chapter 21, verse 5. This is Rasik Janas, Rasik Vaishnavas say this is the ideal verse to memorize, to meditate on, do mantra upasana, chant 16 rounds, try to visualize each part of the verse, each part of Krishna's body being described in the verse, pray to the Braja Gopis, pray to the Purvaraga Gopis that some of this vision, some of these feelings, some of these attractions can come in our heart. And then the full meaning and understanding of this verse will somehow manifest itself in our minds. And the verse is like this. Apitam natavara vapukarnayo karnikaram vibradvasa kanaka kapisam vajyantim chamalam randran venor adara sudaya purayan gopa brinder brindaranyan sapadaramanam pravishad gita kirti. What did the gopis meditate? This is Sham, Krishna, wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, Barha Pitam, blue Karnikara flowers on his ears, Karniyo Karnikaram, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold. This is, where is that part? Bibradvasa. And the Vaijyanti garland, Kanaka Kapisham, I guess. Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers, Natavara Vapu, as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, Brindaranyam Sapada Ramanam Pravesh. Sapada Ramanam, marking the forest with his footprints, his Ramanam Padam. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the coward boys sang his glories. Pravishad Gita Kirti. Gita Kirti. So in their meditation, that same heart that they were seeing the forest of Kamvan where Krishna had gone that day, and the bees and the birds, and Balaram and the coward boys, and hearing Krishna's flute, then they saw that the coward boys were dancing along with Krishna, glorifying him. But that was part of their scene and their meditation. They said, okay, the coward boys are there glorifying, but what are we doing? We're seeing this beautiful form of Krishna, and Kamadeva is rising in our heart, powerfully rising in our heart. So much Udaya. And when the sun first rises, Surya Udai, when it first rises, the sun rises, not very powerful, not very intense, not very hot. At sunrise today, it was 24 degrees in Radhakund, 24 degrees centigrade at sunrise, 6:15. And at 12 o'clock, it was 32. So more intensity at 12 noon. The Smara Udai, Udai means like rising. So in verse 3, when they simply started describing, they were describing Krishna's flute, and suddenly Smara arose, started rising. Verse 3, Smara Udai. They got together in Yavat, and they were describing with their Swapaksha friends, or Swasakis, their friends, his flute is like this. They describe Krishna's chastita, his flute, Krishnasya swa, his varna. Then next, text 4, they started describing Krishna's chastitam. And the more they describe Krishna's qualities and his form, then the higher the sunshine of Smara rose in the sky of their heart. The sunshine of Smara, the sunshine of Cupid, erotic attraction and love, rose higher and higher in her heart, and within, between verse 3 and 4, by verse 4 it became 12 noon in their hearts. It became so intense and so powerful that they became vikshipta. Vikshipta manasanripa. Their minds became crippled. They became dysfunctional. Verse 3, they started to describe Krishna's qualities. Verse 4, when they remembered his activities and meditated on this form, they were speaking a little bit about and locking their minds in this form. Oh, gopis, this form, look, this peacock feather, this yellow dhoti, this Karnikara flowers, his footprints. And they were totally vikshipta, disturbed. Their minds became paralyzed, paralysis. This is the eighth symptom of sattvic bhav, paralysis, stumbha, paralysis. Incapacitated, dysfunctional. They couldn't speak, tongue-tied. So now what to do? Now Shukadeva Goswami goes further to describe the scene. Iti veno ravam rajan sarvabhuta manoharam shutva brajastriya sarva varnayantyo bibevire. Veno ravam rajan, O king. When the brajastriya, when the young ladies in Braj heard the sound of Krishna's flute, veno ravam, which captivates the minds of all living entities. Sarva-bhuta-manoharam. Sarva-bhuta-manoharam. What did they do? They all embraced one another and began describing it. Varna, yantyo, bibebire. Because in verse 4 we heard that they were vikshipta-manasa. Their minds, they couldn't function. So they looked at each other and they all felt the same way. And they said, they looked at each other and they realized there must be strength in numbers. There must be strength in numbers. Alone we are weak, but together we are strong. Divided we fall, united we stand. So then what to do? They're hearing the flute. They're hearing the flute. Where? In their external ears? No. They're hearing it in the deepest core of their love-drenched hearts. They're drinking the sweet sound of Krishna's flute. They're becoming vikshipta. Their minds are becoming disturbed, udvegam, agitated. They can't speak. But they're still, the flute is playing on. And the smara is udai, udai. The smara, the erotic love, is rising higher and higher in their hearts and starting to burn their hearts and burn their minds. And more ecstatic symptoms are starting to move through their body and minds. Vyavachari bhava, sanchari bhava, sanchara. Charachara means to move towards the sthayi bhava and increase that intense permanent love. So they're saying, and then they're trying to say it's not only us. So first they embrace each other. Oh, Gopi, help me. I'm hearing the sound of this flute. And it's not only us. It's not only us. It's Sarvabhuta Manoharam. Manohara, Sarvabhuta. All living entities are hara. They're attracted. Their minds are taken. They're attracted, captured, taken away. So that's Manoharam. Manohara Sri Krishna ki?
Jai.
Sarvabhuta Manoharam. The bees are Manohara. Pakshi Manohara. Pashu Manohara. Harinya. Harinya. Mriga. Mriga Harinya. Singha. Vyagra. All Manohara. Tiger, lion, deer, bees, birds. All their minds are being captivated and stolen. But the gopis' minds are vikshipta mana. One thing to have someone to steal your wallet, another thing is to disturb your mind. So Krishna's stealing the minds of the birds and animals and all the living entities. He's capturing the minds of everyone in Vrindavan. But the gopis' minds are totally disturbed, agitated. So much so that they can't even speak anymore, can't carry on with their geet, or even begin their geet, so they have to embrace each other. This whole Veno Gita is spoken by taking loving support from a sakhi. Like when we can't stand, we feel weak, we sit down in the corner of the room, like on Ekadasis. Or we can't stand and we lean against the wall, we talk to our friend, well, like this. The gopis can't stand. When your mind fails, your senses fail. When your senses fail, you collapse. It's called fainting, swoon, fainting, murcha. Mind fails, senses fail. Senses fail, muscles fail. Muscles fail, murcha. Fainting. So before they faint, hey, bibebire, hey, sakhi, let me embrace you. Then, now, sakhis are embraced, sakhi to sakhi. They're embracing each other. Now, that's how, then the next verse is the beginning of Veno Gita. This is all the setting of the whole thing. Extraordinary. Vishwanath Chakravarti Pada Ki Shri Pad Hari Vallabhadasa Ki Shri Vinod Valari Mandri Ki. So we'll continue with the Veno Geet at another time when we all gather together to hear the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a preliminary to the first verse of the Veno Geet. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.
Jai.